singing glory to his name. For the Lord is worthy to be praised. I want to thank Reverend Givens and thank Brother Joe for opening up in our devotionals this morning. We invite your attention to Matthew chapter 12. Just one verse that we'll be looking at today, Matthew 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. The tree is known by its fruit. We want to speak from the subject, you will know the tree by its fruit. Amen? Amen. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful again for this privilege that we have of coming together as your people, of loving you, serving you, and honoring your name. And Lord, of learning from you, learning the things that you would have us to do, and recognizing that by our own strength and by our own power, we can do nothing. So we pray, dear Father, that you would bless us in our time together, that we might be indeed not only inspired, but God, that we can be motivated and moved to carry out the things that you would have us to do. Change us by what we hear, and change us for the glory of God. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're continuing with the series, Blessings from the Tree. Blessings from the Tree. On last week, we talked about finding a tree, finding something that can bless you, something that can certainly allow you to become a follower of Christ. But now as we look at our own lives, we have to ask ourselves, in what way does our life represent a tree? In what way do we reflect the life of a tree? Or if you had to choose a tree, what kind of tree would you be? What kind of tree would your life represent? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he should be like a tree. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you represent a tree? What's represented by your life? And if you are that tree, how do you know that you're being productive? It's not in the root. It's not in the leaf. It's in the fruit. Know the fruit. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is understanding what kind of fruitfulness is being produced out of our lives. Now, to give you the context of this message and what we're talking about, Jesus had been challenged by the religious leaders. And we'll get into the text in just a little bit. But he had been challenged by them. And specifically what they were saying is, what you're doing comes from evil. And we'll look at how Jesus argued with them, but not only made them look ridiculous, because they were stressing a point, how could anyone do a good work and you call it evil? We'll get to that in just a minute as we look at this text. But as we think about our own life, whether you acknowledge it or not, you're bearing some kind of fruit. So the question we've got to ask ourselves, is the fruit good or is the fruit evil? What kind of tree am I? It's one thing for the tree to have great limbs, great leaves, great roots, but if it has no fruit, how do you know that it's a good tree? I wish you'd look at someone for the first time and ask him, show me the fruit. It's God's plan in creation that all of us would be fruitful. If you are a living creature, if you are alive, then God's plan is for you to be fruitful. In the beginning, God said, let the earth bring forth, let it yield its fruit. Let the grass bring forth the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. whose seed is in itself upon the earth. This is God's plan for every individual. God's plan for you and me. Now, how we bear that fruit is on three different levels. First of all, you've got to look at the physical level. You are a result of fruit. Your parents brought you into the world, and before them, their parents brought them into the world. And if you look at nature, everything has seed in itself. And that's how it is produced. That's how the world continues on. God wants a living earth, not a dead one. So God put this law in that we would be fruitful on the physical level. But not only are we fruitful on the physical level, we have to be fruitful on the social level. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I reference Abraham. God spoke to him. And notice what God said about Abraham in Genesis chapter, 22. He said to Abraham, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall what? Keep the way of the Lord to do justice and to do judgment. In other words, they're going to be discretionary people. They're going to be people who treat other people right. Socially. What causes wars? People have disagreements. And they don't solve them in a sociable way. And so they fight it out until one conquers the other. And if you live that life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, if you live that kind of life, somebody's going to get hurt. What did Jesus say? Not only love your friends, not only love those that love you, Jesus said what? Love your enemies. That's an entirely different social concept. But when you look at the way God planned it, he wanted all of us to live on this earth and to take care of one another. So God made us productive on the social level, on the physical level. But then when you think about it, God made us productive, to be productive on the spiritual level. What are you talking about, preacher? He called this thing righteousness. Righteousness. What did he say? On a national scale, righteousness, what? It exalts a nation. It picks it up. Righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness that comes from God. Did you not know that the body of our laws were made or written because of God's laws in the Bible? It's still not a good idea to kill somebody. It's still not a good idea to steal from somebody. And so they put in the law, if you steal something, you're going to be brought to justice. If you kill somebody, you're going to be brought to justice. If you cheat, you see what I'm saying? God wrote this on the spiritual level because righteousness is what we ought to be doing. Now the question is, how do you get righteousness from a bad tree? Righteousness can only come from what? A righteous tree. So now in your trying to decide what kind of tree you are, you probably said to yourself, I'm a good tree. All in favor say aye. Why? Because all of us want to be what? We want to be a good tree. We want to bear good fruit. Reality check. Do we always bear that good fruit? Are we always kind and just? Do we always say the things that we ought to say? Do the things we ought to do? So now, I don't want you to talk to your neighbor. I want you to talk to yourself and ask yourself, am I a good tree? Amen. Here it was. Jesus was confronted by these righteous people. They said, we represent the nation of Israel. We're the leaders. We're the Pharisees. We're the elite. We are the people that should know. And not only are we the people that should know, we do know. And so they confronted Jesus because crowds of people were coming to Jesus to be healed and to be delivered of demons. And they said, oh, he cast out demons by the prince of devils, by Beelzebub. Beelzebub. And the crowds of people, now they were in a conflict. They didn't know whether to listen to the Pharisees or listen to Jesus. Now, if I listen to Jesus, I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm going to get my miracle. If I listen to the Pharisees, well, they're supposed to be teachers of the law. And remember back in Elijah's day, he asked the people, how long will you keep halting between two opinions? If God be God, let him be God. And if Baal be Baal, then let him be God. But there's only one. There is only one. And so Jesus, being the kind and gracious Savior, he could have wiped them out with his word if he wanted to, but he didn't come from that purpose. For that purpose, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he said to these Pharisees, and I'll bring this up in these laws that we have. He said, first of all, things have to bring forth fruit after its kind. It has to bring forth fruit after its kind. And in that argument, he posed to them two things. He said, two things now. How in the world can Satan cast out Satan and his kingdom not be divided? Right? How can Satan be fighting against Satan and him have a unified kingdom? It's impossible. It's impossible. So now the crowd's looking at Jesus. They said, yeah, Jesus, you're right. Satan can't fight against himself lest his kingdom be divided. And then Jesus hit him with the second question, and it was this. If I'm casting out demons by Beelzebub, then who do your children cast about? How do they? Tell me how they do it. You know, people always love to criticize your work, right? And yet, they do the same thing. Anybody in the house? Hello, I'm knocking. So things have to produce after its own kind. After its own kind. The second thing that we have to realize is that in this thing of producing, or fruitfulness, as we call it, there's a productivity law. You're supposed to produce. If you're alive, you're supposed to produce. Right? You go to an apple tree at a certain time of the year. What do you expect? Apples. You go to your garden, you planted it, and you've nurtured it. And so you go to your garden and you look at it, and it's all leaves. It has no string beans, no peas. You dig under the potato plant because they grow underground. They're the root fruit, you know, and you have to look up under them, and you don't see any potatoes. And then you've got a decision to make. When Jesus came upon this fig tree, it was all leaves and branches and all these flowers and blooms, but no figs. And Jesus cursed it. Why? Because it was supposed to produce. Self-reflect now. In your own life. We hear the word of God. We pray prayers to God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves again, where is the fruit? Don't show me the leaf. Don't say every time I come around, praise the Lord. That's a leaf. I need to see something produced in your life. And so Jesus issues this challenge. He says to you and I, now, if you are a good tree, then bear good fruit. If you are a bad tree, then bear bad fruit. Either make it one or the other, because you're going to bear fruit if you're alive. Anybody in the house say amen. Yeah, you're going to bear some kind of fruit. You're going to bear some kind of fruit. Then thirdly, we have to look at the consumption law, is that I've never seen in all my days of living, I'm 65 years old, all my days of living, I've never seen an apple tree eat its own fruit. Haven't seen it yet. I've never seen a potato having French fries. Yet if we go back to some of these levels that we live on, I've seen humans consume one another. Gobble them up in their words, in their gossip, in the way they talk about them. See, Jesus is getting at something here. He's getting at something. He's saying, now, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know what God is all about, then you've got to be one of those trees that's saying, God, help me to bear good fruit. Later on in the epistles, Paul says, if you gobble up one another, how in the world are you going to survive? He asked the church because they were constantly at each other. They were at each other's throat. They could not get along for any reason. They didn't want to get along. And so how in the world can you have a body of Christ if we're consuming one another?
Amen.
I know you got faults.
Yes.
You know I got faults. Yes. But the question is, can we love one another in Christ to where we look beyond the faults and see the need? Anybody in the house today?
Amen.
So the consumption law. The consumption law says that I've got to help Kevin. Why? Because he needs my fruit. Dr. Mitchell, when he came in our revival, one of the things he says is that if we're connected to the vine, then we will bear fruit. And that fruit is not for self-consumption. That fruit is for us to share with others. And God is glorified when you bear what? Much fruit. I'm getting to the close of my message, but I think you're into the text and you're also into examining yourself, right? Because we said, we don't always bear good fruit. All in favor say aye. Okay, now it's not that you don't intend to, but you know, sometimes when you're trying to preserve yourself, you'll tell the little bitty little untruth. Well, you want to call it a lie. You just have a slight bit of an edge to it, and we'll say, yeah, when it should be no. And we'll say no when it should have been yes. So as we look at this, as we look at God's way of examining our fruitfulness, and we'll get to that in just a minute, we have to also recognize, bear what kind of fruit you want. Yeah, if you want to be that, be that. But know this, and I use the word tested, but really your fruit will be judged. Your fruit, my fruit, Joe, is going to be judged. I might say, well, it looks good to me. In the book of Genesis, two sons came to God to offer a sacrifice. Abel brought the animal sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that God wanted. And Cain said, I'll bring him what I want. I'll bring him my produce and show him how good I am, how good farmer I am. He was expecting the green badge of what he could do. And God said, I'm not pleased with that. Cain got angry. He says, well, what I need to do is to remove the competition. Now God will really like me if I am the only one presenting. Okay, God, you got a problem with my offering because of Abel's offering. Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove Abel. You got a problem with me singing, then I'll get off the choir or I'll get my own choir. Oops, I'm sorry. Well, I can't usher on this Sunday because the other person is ushering and I don't like the way it is. Or this preacher is better than this preacher. And I don't. That fruit's going to be tested. You can say what you want to. You can try to hide behind the tree. But the fruit will be tested. Not just by you and me, but by God Almighty. So please, if I were you and I am you, because I recognize that my tree has to bear good fruit, God's going to test it. What do I do about it? I examine my fruit. Here's where we go. Here's where we're going with this. They had looked at Jesus, and the first thing they began to do is to say, he's not of God. He's not of God. He cast out these devils by Beelzebub. Now, one of their teachers named Nicodemus already knew something was going on with Jesus that had a connection with God. Remember, he came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, verse 2. And he said, "Teacher, something about you," and I'm using my own words, "you must be from God because nobody can do these miracles except God be with them." Now, what are they now saying? Oh, he's doing it by the prince of devils. And that's why Jesus gave them that twofold argument. You know, if Satan's divided, how can his kingdom stand? And then secondly, he said, well, if I'm doing it by devils, by the prince of devils, who do your children cast them out by? Ridiculous argument. Nicodemus, one of the Pharisee leaders, he had already said, you've got to come from God. You can't do these miracles with God. There's no way that you can open blind eyes, heal those that are sick, cast out demons, except God be with you. He wasn't even born again. But he knew fruit when he saw it. Oh, sometimes you can get so jealous of other people, you can't stand them. But when they do something, give God some glory. Hello. Second thing they did is that they also said, Jesus said this about them. He said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, scribes, you hypocrites, that you will compare sea and land to make someone a convert. And when he becomes a convert, you make him twofold the child of hell." Why? Because when they come into their fold, now they're going to teach them their way, not God's way. This is the way we do things around here. You can do that other place, but you don't do not around here. No. We got laws. And Jesus trounced upon every one of their laws because none of them were of God. They had a stupid and ridiculous law that says if you dedicate something to God that rightfully should have been to take care of your parents, don't worry about the parents. Just give it to the temple. And Jesus said, how ridiculous is that? The word of God says plainly, honor your father and your mother. But you see, they were in charge of the temple revenue. Ah, there's a motive behind this. You just thought they were upset with Jesus. No, he came into their temple, turned over their money chain. In other words, he shut down their show that day. They couldn't collect any more money, and they came up to him about, what authority? What authority are you doing these things? And Jesus said, well, you know, you tell me by what authority did John do his thing, and then I'll tell you. They were all words, no real fruit, nothing that was productive or nothing that really came from God. And so Jesus condemned them. He said that they are not of God. Why? Because they can talk a good talk. And you don't want to be the kind of church member that all you do is talk a good talk. Oh, you know the scripture. Oh, you know the hymn. Yeah, and you know the her. Some of y'all missed it. Him, okay. Last thing that Jesus said to them, he said, now, I want to tell you something. You guys are calling good evil and evil good. Let me just warn you. Let me just send up this flag. Let me just send this flag up. Every sin and blasphemy, and in some of the other gospel, he expands it, and he says, against God and Jesus will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Notice what he's saying. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven of men. And the other gospels say, neither in this life nor in the life to come. Ooh. That's some strong stuff, right? Now, what is Jesus saying? He's going back to the text. What were they doing? They were calling a work of God by the Holy Spirit evil. Now, if you're against the Holy Spirit right here, now, is he talking about, well, what if I don't believe in Jesus? That's a bad sin. Yeah, it can send you to hell. But all of us will be guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if that was it. Right? Because at one time, we didn't believe in Jesus. We didn't believe that he was the Savior. We didn't believe that he could redeem our life. And if you were like me, I was having a good time, or thought I was, killing myself, drinking stuff that was going to kill me. No wonder you got high, because half your brain cells were dead. I'm being cool, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm killing myself. When I came to Jesus, he brought me to life. So all of us would be guilty of that. Well, is it doubting God? Well, again, all of us have done that. None of us would be saved if that were the case of being blasphemous against the Holy Spirit. But here it is. When you know that something is of God, and you call it evil, that's blasphemy. And you're not just blaspheming against the work of God. You're not just blaspheming against Jesus. Jesus said, believe me for the work's sake. Why? Because the works were of the Holy Spirit. And if you doubt the work of the Holy Spirit, he can never do anything in here. He can never get on the inside of you to redeem you. And while you might get a whole lot of things wrong in life, which I probably become a good candidate at that, one thing I got right, and that is to acknowledge that God is Lord. Even when I was half tanked out up under the old oak tree and drinking corn liquor and shooting the breeze and a whole bunch of other stuff that I did that's ungodly that can't be mentioned in church, and you ain't going to know about it because I ain't going to tell you. I knew I was a sinner. When you tell yourself, I'm no sinner, I'm just as good as everybody else, be careful. Amen. You're coming up on that line. Amen. Know that you're wrong when you're wrong, and know that God is right when he works a righteous work. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap on that. All right, so let's get through this thing. Let's get through this. I want to know, how can I change my fruit? And I didn't realize this until I read this verse. When I read this verse, I said, Jesus gave him a way out. Isn't he gracious? Why in the world would you tell me either make the tree good or make it evil if it was impossible to do? Why would you tell me that? Let me show you another point so you get where I'm going at on this. All right, remember the Syrophoenician woman? She wanted her daughter healed. Jesus said to her, it's not proper to take the children's bread and just cast it out there to the dogs. The woman could have got offended and walked away, but he gave her an opening. He gave her an opening. And the opening was where the woman came back and said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She said, I got you on that one. And in this verse, Jesus is leaving the worst of sinners a way to get grace. Why would he say either make the tree good or evil if it was impossible? Now, you can't change the tree, but the one who planted it. Yes, indeed. I'm a graduated farmer. Amen. I graduated at 18 and swore I wasn't going to go back, but I know something about farming. If you don't like what you planted, pull it up and plant it again. I wish y'all would join with me, because that's exactly what God did. He gave you a choice. Didn't Adam and Eve have a choice? God said, good tree, bad tree. Tree of life, good. Tree of knowledge, bad tree. What do? They decided. You decide on whether it's good or evil. Second thing, Jesus gave them a clue. He said, now, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Wherever you set your heart, if you set your heart and your affection on good things, then good things are going to happen. If you start believing that what's going to happen, notice what he said in Matthew 12 and 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So now it becomes what I devote my heart to. And don't you know that what you eat comes out? Let me rephrase that. What you eat becomes a part of your life. If I eat a lot of fried food, so my doctors say, it's going to impact me. Y'all get where I'm going? If I eat healthy foods, what's going to happen? I'm going to be healthy. I get to jump around and run across the pulpit a couple more times, right? Because what I took in, your spiritual heart takes in If it takes in evil, evil's going to come out. If it takes in good, why you keep hanging around folks that cuss if you don't want to cuss? Hello? Why you hang around people cheating folk if you don't want to cheat? Birds of a feather flock together. So you've got, that's why we come together on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. We're here because we want to get around that which is good. Devote your heart to treasure the good things. And lastly, determine your word before you use them. There's one thing for me to think it in my mind, right? You know, bird flying around, you can keep them from building nests in your hair, right? Now, I can repent over a bad thought. And that's all I got to worry about. Lord, I shouldn't be thinking. Oh, God, help me, Lord. I didn't mean to think that curse word in my mind, all right? I'm just being real. I got to hurry up and finish up. We're in Sunday school time. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. All right, so now, here's what happened. When the word comes out of my mouth, now I've got to pray to God for two things. One, I've got to pray about what I thought and what I said, but then I got to pray about the injury that it caused to that person to whom I said it. I remember one time I was so frustrated that my wife, I don't know whether she asked me what time it was or whatever, and I saw the words come out of my mouth, saw them, and I watched as they landed at her. And I watched the hurt as her spirit went, "You've broken me. How? By your words." And what did Jesus say? "By your words, you will be judged." By your words. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Let me help you with this because some of y'all are struggling. Lord, please help me say, what did David say in Psalm 19, I believe it was? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." First of all, before I say a word, Lord, I'm going to send it up to you. Is this all right? You know, I learned a little trick when I was in college. I learned a little trick. If you go to your professor with some questions about the test, because they're your professor, they want to help you, they'll give you the answer before the... I'm good. Yes, Lord. Got through college. Yes, got my degree on the wall. Not because I knew everything, but I knew how to ask questions. Before you say something to me, say it to God first. All right? And then if you say it to God, God says, "Yeah, that's all right." Then say it to me. Don't get up in my face saying something that God didn't tell. Woo! Jesus. Is this preaching or what? You got to change your fruit. And Jesus didn't come to us because we had a good fruit tree. He came to seek us out because he knew that the fruit was bad. But he says, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out." Paul picked it up in Corinthians and he says, "If any man be in Christ, Lord, have mercy, let me preach. He is a new creature. Old things are..." Look at the fruit. Why? Because you're now bearing fruit to God, and it's glorious. God didn't come to see your fruit. He came to see his fruit produced through you. Glory be to God. Glory be to his name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for helping us to examine our fruit today, because we'll truly know that tree by the fruit it bears. Help us now, God, in living that we would put you first in everything. And think about what we're doing so that we can be fruitful people and, Lord, to honor you in everything. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. We don't want to end the service without giving you an opportunity. If you've never before in your life accepted Christ as your Savior, please do so today. Please acknowledge Him. Please say, Lord, I'm a bad tree, but I want to be a good tree. And You can change me. I'm going to ask that we all stand. We all stand.